بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 6th of October in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, after spending a few sessions discussing the glorious Quran, moving on to the priceless dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first, in the most informative report, it mentions, مَا أُخِذَ طَائِرُ وَلَا حُوتٌ إِلَّا بِتَدْبِيعِ التَّسْبِيحِ. Birds and fish are not caught until they leave the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Birds and fish are not caught until they leave the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is recorded in Abu al-Shaykh al-Dur al-Mantur 4-184 and Fatawa al-Zawiyah 9-760. So let's look at this. So obviously, millions if not billions of fish are caught the world over. The same with birds. But why does Allah the Almighty allow you to catch those birds and fish? Because they leave the dhikr. Look how interesting. They're doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they stop, they're caught. So why is this narration mentioned to us? Because the wisdom here is, dhikr is not just for rewards. Dhikr is not just to purify your sin. It's to protect you. It protects you from calamities. In another report, in Abu Na'im, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no game that is being hunted, nor a tree that is being cut, except as a result of the negligence of tasbih. There is no game that is being hunted, nor a tree that is being cut, except as a result of the negligence of tasbih. So now the Prophet added something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He added the tree. How many billions of trees are being cut? People are worried about the Amazon rainforest. And there's an outward worry, but there's an inward worry. The inward worry is those trees are cut because they stop the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, you are caught out when you are not doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, my eyes sleep, but my heart does not. Meaning he's doing the dhikr 24/7. Impossible to catch the Prophet's out, alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. My eyes sleep. When the Prophet was sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was doing dhikr 24/7. Why? Because he's chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the same theme, it mentions, this is recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi in his Sifat al-Safwa, volume 4, page 357. Once in Yemen, a man was catching fish on the bank of a river, whilst his little daughter was also sitting next to him. So picture the scene. Father is fishing and his young daughter is next to him. On every catch, he put the fish into a basket lying behind him. Whereas his little daughter, unbeknown to him, put the same fish back into the water. But he was unaware, obviously. After he had completed his fishing, he turned back, looked at the basket. He did not find even a single fish in it. So he asked his daughter, where have the fish come? The little girl replied, and she related the hadith. She goes, didn't the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is not a game that is being hunted, nor a tree that is being cut, except as a result of the negligence of tasbih. Then she added, therefore I did not like to consume fish that had been unmindful of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Having heard this, the father became highly emotional and tearful. He then threw away the fishing line and hooks. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So is this a story? No, it's recorded. Hafiz ibn Jawzi in Sifat al-Safwa, i.e. the narratives of the righteous. So this young girl, look how pure she was. She heard the hadith and she's thinking, every fish my father catches is being caught because it's not doing dhikr. I can't eat this. To eat fish that hasn't done the zikr, I'd rather eat the fish that's done the zikr. So when the fish was put into the basket, she just put it back. And the father, he didn't get angry. He appreciated his daughter's understanding. But what does that tell you about our food? We have to eat. So every fish you ate up today was caught because it didn't do zikr. But this doesn't mean obviously that the fish, there's something wrong with the fish. It means it's totally halal, it's tayyib. However, there's a deeper wisdom which is mentioned here. Thus the Salaf would say, Rahimahumullah, there is no neglect uglier than that of a person who neglects your remembrance. SubhanAllah. There is no neglect uglier than that of a person who neglects your remembrance. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 713. So think about this. This is a hadith. Consider all the various things you could foolishly neglect. So let's look. You neglect your body. What happens? You get ill. You neglect your source of income. What happens? You fall on hard times. You neglect your family. And then what happens? They go off the rails. But subhanAllah, the greatest of all neglects is simply to neglect the price, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. Look at the value of dhikr. If somebody says to you, my son's gone off, he's off the rails. And it's happened because of neglect usually. You know, granted there's exceptions to the rule, but usually it's due to neglect. So what is the worth of bringing him back? And yet, what is a greater neglect than that of your own son? The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. Look at the loss it's causing you. Because you realize the value of your son's guidance. You realize your health. You realize your wealth. But do we realize what zikr is? Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Salaf rahimahumullah said, there is no neglect uglier than that of a person who neglects your remembrance. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But subhanAllah, this is again something to reflect upon. Now another thing which is very important. Shaitan, he will try to stop you from doing dhikr. If he can't stop you, he then turns the dial the other way. And he will think, look, you do dhikr all the time. You're a successful soul. This is a trick of shaitan. The dhikr we perform is nothing but damage limitation. Why? Because our beloved messenger famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no time in which the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not remember him within it, except it will be a source of regret for him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. There is no time in which the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not remember him within it, except it will then be a source of regret for him on the day of judgment. This is recorded in Bayhaqi in Abu Nu'im and is graded Hasan in Sahih al-Jami, number 5720. So think about that. So up to date, how much of your life have you wasted not doing dhikr? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for each and every second you're going to regret it. Forget about seconds. You know, we've neglected the dhikr, you can possibly say years. So what was the Prophet teaching you here? His damage limitation. How can you be proud of your dhikr? That's what he's basically saying. He goes, damage limit, you're going to feel regret on the day of judgment, not in hell. Meaning, oh my God, why did I waste this precious time? Let alone this, our beloved messenger added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people of paradise will regret the time they did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. The people of paradise will regret the time that they did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Ibn As-Sini and is graded Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 5446. So now this needs to be explained. How can you feel regret in paradise? Paradise is a place of enjoyment. The regret is basically you could have got more. You understand? Because paradise has levels. And the Prophet is telling you, imagine, even if somebody asks you that, will there be a person in paradise feeling regret? You think, well, of course not. And you made an incorrect statement. The people of Padar Grice regret the time they didn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a report, the scholars mention it frequently, a man or woman is in paradise and they smell something that they've never smelled before, something extraordinary. And they ask, oh our Lord, or they ask the angels, what is that? He goes, that's from the next paradise. And then they, out of, you know, envy, they will say, how did they get a level above us? And the angel alayhi salatu wasalam says, one subhanallah. Think about that. So you drop dead, you've done 1 billion subhanallahs. Another person dropped dead, 1 billion and 1. What's the difference in paradise? One level. Right? Think about that. And you're going to be kicking yourself, thinking, what? And I just smell, what was it? You know what? Is it a food? Is it a drink? Is it a perfume? What is it? There you go. There's the regret the Prophet was talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, the righteous would grieve over the fact that they had not done more of the good. This is part of a long report. So the gist of the report, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when you die, you regret. So the Sahaba understood the evildoers, they're going to regret. But they didn't understand the righteous. Why would the righteous regret? So they go, Ya Rasulullah, why would the righteous regret? So the Prophet said, they would regret over the fact they had not done more good. So basically, you're going to regret. There's no doubt about it. And it's damage limitation. That's all it is. But we're still alive. We're still breathing. Therefore, we can still do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think that your time is not precious, now consider this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi, then a tree is planted for him in paradise. This is in Tirmidhi, Hasan, Sahih, Gharib. How long did it take me to say that? Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. Not even a second. I've got a tree in paradise. What's a second worth of zikr? So a person goes, oh, just a tree. Just a tree. When you go there, you'll find out where a tree is. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said that there is no similarity with anything in paradise except the words you utter. So when the hadith says you got a tree in paradise, it's not a tree what you're thinking. In Tirmidhi and Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each tree in paradise, its trunk is made of gold. So go back to that hadith now. And now what do you think of it? Somebody goes, what? So even if it was a tree here, and we see on the roadside, and somebody goes, how much trunk? If that was gold, what are you talking? He goes, well, you're the richest man on earth, right? And then he goes, for Subhanallah Azim wa bihamdi, I'm the richest man on earth. And that was just a fraction of a second I could have used on the earth to get this tree. What did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam? He goes, paradise is a vast empty plain. Tell them to utter Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. One report, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Meaning it's planting things in paradise for you. You're preparing. Another report in Abu Nu'aym mentions that the angels are actually planting things in paradise. The angels are the workers. And then they stop. Just like you get those workers and they're having a tea break. And then somebody asks the angels, why have you stopped? He goes, we stopped getting paid. Their payment is your zikr. You do zikr, they'll start working. You stop, they have tea break. Right? So you want to, obviously, it doesn't mean you work them to the bone, but it's honor for them. So there you're filling your paradise. And how vast is paradise? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tirmidhi, the lowest person in paradise, he will have land for 2,000 years. Plenty of land, brother. Not like, you know, back home, you koror. I don't even know what you call them. Acres, koror, whatever. He goes, this guy's rich beyond belief. Why? He's got koror. Is he? MashaAllah, what's that? Right? Imagine 2,000 years. You know, imagine if somebody says that to you. What sort of, what does that mean? I've got land, 2,000 years of land. What is that? What's that supposed to mean? Right? Are you feeling good? Have you got your medication? You know, what are you on about? Right? 2,000 years of land is more than this world. Why? Because if I walk, I can circumambulate the world at my pace probably in a year or so. I've still got another 1,999 years of land. How much land have you got? And this is the lowest person in paradise. Why? Allah Ta'ala's filling. And that's the person who had the least intelligence. And what about the ones who are higher than them? What are they going to have in Jannah? And then you look back at your world and had a few houses, few cars. There you go, in it, brother. Congratulations, innit? MashaAllah. The awesome zikr that one could do well to get into one short life is the following. Now this one, get it into your life. Do it once. If you're not going to do it all the time, do it once. In Ahmad in his Musnad number 6740-7005 with the Sahih channel transmission, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala, whoever says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with no partner or associate. His is the sovereignty, and to him be the praise, and he has power over all things. 200 مَرَّةٍ فِي يَوْمٍ 200 times in a day. لَمْ يَسْبِقْهُ أَحَدًا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ Then no one before him can surpass him. وَلَا يُدْرِكْهُ أَحَدًا بَعْدَهُ And no one who comes after him can catch him up. إِلَّا بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ Except the one who does a deed better than his. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So first, very important, is it authentic? Yes. Imam Ahmad records it. Two places, Sahih chain of transmission. Is the zikr famous? Yes. If you don't know it, then what school have you been going to? Right? Fourth kalima. Chota kalima. Right? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Say it 200 times. The guy starts choking. Brother, I know your time's precious, but just do it 200 times. And he goes, well, that'll take me half an hour. This is the reward. No one in our history can overtake you. Topi's gonna go flying up. What are you on about, brother? Right? I'm not saying that. That's what the Prophet said. No one in history can surpass you. How many billions of jinn and humans have there been? And no one who comes after you can catch you. Illa bi afdala min amali. Except the one who does a deed better than him, meaning he does it more. So what is this hadith telling you? What have the people in the past done? Jihad for 80 years, all their wealth in the path of Allah. You know, we just hear the report, you're thinking, what am I, how am I supposed to compete with that? And we don't say fourth kalima 200 times, yeah. You're like, don't worry about it. Then the guy goes, well, you know about, unless he did it, then obviously, then you got problems. So there's a figure mentioned here, 200. So for God's sake, at least do it once in your life. Right? Look, the Prophet didn't say every single day. Did he say that? Did he say once a week? Once a week? He didn't say anything. He just said you do it once. But obviously, you should try and do it more than that. Other virtues, you know, we should know. If you say 100 times, the shaitan cannot have access to you. Bukhari and Muslim. If people get possessed and they get cured and they read this, the jinns can't do anything. That's one of the other virtues of this glorious zikr. But you say 100 times. Another report says, all your sins are forgiven even inside the form of the ocean. But this report knocks it out of the ballpark. 200 times. Now, can you send it to the dead? Of course you can. Imagine, somebody goes, what did you send to the dead, to the deceased today? I've sent him such a gift that nobody in history can make it. And nobody in the future can make it. That's the gift I sent. The guy's looking at the Buddha. What's this special zikr? And you mentioned the fourth kalima. The guy, well, everybody knows that. Well, did you know that this is the virtue? 200 times. Those letters rush to be amongst those fortunate souls who have recited this truly priceless formula 200 times daily. If not regularly, weekly. If not weekly, monthly. If not monthly, yearly. If not yearly, once in one short life. Why? So as to be amongst those whom neither the people of old or of latter times can surpass, except, as our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa bi afdala min amali, the one who does a deed better than his, who does more. All praise and thanks be to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for such truly priceless gifts. Subhanahu, think about that. The problem is people mention the dhikr, they don't mention the virtue. We've learned, we've grown up knowing this. Awwal kalima, I don't even know, what did they say, second kalima, tisra kalima, chota kalima, and then you think, and then you're a kid, you're thinking, why am I learning these zikrs? And then they go, oh, you have to read this when you get married. He goes, why? Because they want to know whether you're a Hindu. Because Hindus were marrying, Muslims. So to Susama, they made them read these kalimah. So I don't think the Prophet taught it for that reason. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But anyway, if you're doing it for that reason, mashallah. But the problem with that is Muslims don't know it. Because you're going to start calling a Muslim or Hindu. That's the fear. Imagine somebody goes, what's the fifth kalima? So what are they asking me for? Hindu, this guy, astaghfirullah. Imagine. But there's the virtue of this zikr. Get it into your life. Amongst the other priceless zikrs, Salat al-Nabi is priceless. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mention a few virtues of Salat al-Nabi. We call it Durood Sharif. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 7235, or 5-252, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 mercies on the one who recites Salat 10 times on me. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 mercies on the one who recites Salat 10 times on me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about that. If Allah the Almighty and Glorious bestows His mercy upon you, have you got anything to worry about? What if He does that 100 times? The person goes, well, once His mercy, if He showers me with His mercy, I don't need the second one, but I'm very grateful. But how do I get 100 showers of mercy? 10 Salat and Nabis. Think about that. So what is Allah Ta'ala guaranteeing you if you do Salat and Nabi 10 times? Guaranteeing you His mercy. He loves the Prophet too much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this proves it. Similarly, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, whoever sends salat upon Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels alayhi salatu wasalam bless him 70 times. Therefore, let each servant do as much or as little of that as he wants. Subhanallah. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 6605, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 17283, or 10-248, he states Hassan. So let's look at this. Now once. So let's do it once. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what have I got for that? Inshallah. 70 times, Allah the Almighty and Glorious has blessed me. Think about that. And the angels. Then what did Abdullah ibn Amr say? He had said something very interesting. Therefore, let each servant do as much or as little of it as he wants. So what do we say? Basically, you must be a fruitcake if you don't do it. But he was polite. As if to say, if you want to do a little bit, get your little reward. If you want to do a lot, but do a lot of this. This is what the great Abdullah ibn Amr was saying, radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah, such an easy access to the priceless divine mercy. Now another thing. Salat al-Nabi has secrets. So obviously, what are some of the secrets? In Abu Nu'im, in his Ma'rifatu al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 520, Hafiz Zabidi rahmatullah alayhi, in his Al-Ithaf, 5-274, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dhikr of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in abundance, eradicates poverty. Subhanallah. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in abundance, eradicates poverty. This is a secret. So if a person is financially struggling, the formula you can give him is, go berserk and durood sharif. Now imagine telling somebody that, brother, look, I've lost my job, COVID's kicked me where it hurts, I don't know where, I'm a roof over my head is now in danger, durood sharif. He'll give you that puzzle look, he goes, brother, I didn't ask you for, rewards and virtues, I'm thinking, I need money. If you do Salat al-Nabi in abundance, you'll get rid of poverty. Think about that. And if you don't believe it, try it. As if you don't believe it, what does that mean? Astaghfirullah. Now think about that. Are we bothered about that? But Allah Ta'ala goes, here you go, I'll give you dunya as well. Right? And then one brother says to me, how many times do I need to say it? Imagine, well, what do you want to do, brother? Shall we negotiate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 1,000. Just do it until you drop. And he goes, which durood? Then he starts asking these tricky questions. Which one do you want to do, brother? the one that Imam Ghazali instigated, right? Or the one which, just get on with it. Right? And he goes, is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam durood? Yeah. If I just do that, is that durood? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know the fiqh questions, right? And then he goes, did all the imams, baskar in it, just do it, astaghfirullah. And Allah Ta'ala will take away poverty. Imagine. Subhanallah. One should increase in Salatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Fridays. Why? In Kanzul Umal, number 2238 or 1-256, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites Salat upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 200 times on a Friday, 200 years of his sins are forgiven. The one who recites Salat upon me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 200 times on a Friday, 200 years of his sins are forgiven. Now what does that mean? How many of us even know a person who's lived 200 years? But even if he did, and you did know somebody, and you said, did he do the Durood Sharif 200 times on a Friday? Well, in 200 years, I hope he has, right? He goes, that's enough to wipe out all of his lifetime of sins. Think about that. But now there's a secret here. What's the secret? Most of us will die between 60 and 70. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happens to the 140 years that we didn't live? So that is recorded for you. Think about that. All your sins are forgiven and 140 years of good deeds are recorded. 140 years! Right? And why did you get that? Because you did Durood Sharif 200 times on a Friday. Think about that. Similarly, our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who sends salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 times on the day and night of Friday, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 of his needs, 70 of the hereafter, and 30 of this world. Subhanallah. This is in Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq 54-T01. So let's look at this. Friday again. 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. Which comes first, morning or evening?
Evening,
mashallah. Right? So Thursday evening 100 times, and then Friday morning, or you know, during the Friday 100 times. And what happens now? 100 needs are fulfilled. Now, which need is more important, dunya or akhirat? And people even think about it. Imagine, that's what brother, you're thinking about it. What are you thinking about, brother? Akhirat, right? Go, oh, yeah, yeah, right? As if something in dunya is like, you know, more important than akhirat. So was 70 of the akhirat is fulfilled. What are the 70? Beggars can't be choosers, brother. I'm not bothered. If there's 70, whatever it is, I'm very grateful. Imagine, we just said that sorted. Is that one of them? Yeah, you got 69 left. Grave sorted out. Well, I've got 68 left. I'm not being funny, but by the time you go through the big events of the akhirat, you still got some left. Day judgment made easy for you. That's 67 left. Now what? You get a drink under the arsh. 65 left. 66. And what did I get that for? 100 durood Friday morning, 100 durood Friday night. But the Prophet added 30 of the dunya. All for fulfilled. Because dunya is something that something strange about us. We want dunya as well. But Allah gives you 30 in dunya. And you will definitely count those out. Right? So note again, durood sharif on Friday. You must be a fruitcake if you don't do it. Just go berserk on the day of Friday, keep doing the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to conclude, in short, the entire matter is summed up by the following hadith. In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 8210, our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O mankind, undoubtedly the one amongst you to gain the quickest relief on the day of judgment from its horrors and reckoning will be the one who recited Salat upon me in abundance. Subhanallah. O mankind, undoubtedly the one amongst you to gain the quickest relief on the day of judgment from its horrors and reckoning will be the one who recited Salat upon me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in abundance. So let's look at this. Do you want the quickest relief on the day of judgment? What sort of a question is that? But of course, I don't want a delayed relief. If somebody goes to you, I want Allah Ta'ala to show mercy to me after 2 years of Qiyamah. Are you feeling good, brother? I want him to show mercy to me as soon as I get out of the grave. Or even in the grave. The Prophet told you have to do it. The quickest relief We told you, on the day of judgment, from the horrors and reckoning, salat upon me, and the condition is in abundance. So if somebody has done it more than you, he's going to be more quickly out of the fire than you on the day of judgment. Now why is that? We don't need to know. Rasulullah so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just send salat upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala will sort out each and every one of your affairs. More importantly in the hereafter and also certainly in the world. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always and forever. Ameen. So all I mentioned today was talking about the glorious dhikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And notice, we're wasting our lives. Fazool, you know, just talking fazool, doing fazool, just get on with the deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each and every day, you either acquire or you lose. Like a trade or a loss, he used those words. What was he talking about? Going to market. Meaning that every day be an intelligent business person. Try to get the most. In Ibn Adi, in his Qabil, the Prophet ﷺ said, the days and nights are months. Ride them carefully to your destination. The days and nights are months. Ride them carefully. So what do? Get on the horse? Hey, let's stop, you know. Get on the horse, do what you got to do. And the day and the night are your horses. What do? Play during the day and sleep during the night. One of the sheikhs actually said that. He goes, how is a person going to travel when he plays during the day and he sleeps during the night? And he walked past him. And then one of the youngsters understood. He goes, he's rebuked us. You don't realize. And it's true. They're called chillers. You know, chillers. Interesting word they're using it. What are you chilling for, brother? I'm a chiller. Right? Chilling for what? Right? He goes, well, you know, just chilling, eh? Right? Imagine. Chiller. Right? You know, this is the place to work. SubhanAllah. Another example the scholars give is they put on the garments of leisure when they're still in the factory. So imagine you go into the factory, somebody's got his bedclothes on. John, what's happened to you? And he's got a pipe in his mouth. So, because you're in the factory, where you got your pajamas on for? It's all over, isn't it? Right? Go and see a psychiatrist. And we're walking out with pajamas. Imagine, isn't it? Get your bloody overalls on, man. Get back to work. Work for the akhirat. Prepare for it. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم